see my Savior's hands. The title says it all.
Pastor Will Wheaton, author of the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, See My Savior's Hands.
In pictures and words, we follow Jesus' story by watching his hands, from childhood to his baptism, from his healings and miracles all the way to the cross, from his resurrection to his ascension. We'll see that his hands are always active at work to bring us blessing.
Learn more and purchase See My Savior's Hands, a book for children ages 4 through 7 at issuesetc.org. Even though it is the practically only story in the news today, it's a factor in so much of the news today. The president will be addressing the nation from the White House live this evening on the subject of the coronavirus. For the vast majority of us, our lives are continuing pretty much as normal, at least for the time being. But what can we do as individuals, and especially as families, especially families with small children, to do our best for ourselves and for our neighbors when it comes to facing something like the threat of coronavirus? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to talk families and the coronavirus with Holly Shear. She's a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming, and author of a recent column for The Federalist titled What Families Can Do to Protect Themselves Against Flu and Coronavirus. Holly, welcome back.
Thanks for having me on today.
As a mother of four children, are you concerned about coronavirus?
I wouldn't say I'm afraid, but I am concerned about how life is changing a little bit and how much people are really buying up all of the supplies and kind of going out and really kind of working themselves up into a panic right now.
How do you explain the reaction to the outbreak of coronavirus?
You know, our children are really spread apart in age. Our youngest is 7. And our oldest is turning 16. And so obviously you discuss this a little bit differently, you know, with those age groups. And I think it's interesting that even our youngest has heard about this. You know, he has talked about this with his friends, which surprised me a little bit. He came home from, you know, playing with friends and told us that his little friends had, you know, told him about this virus going around, and they told him that they had heard everybody was going to die. And so we sat him down and we said, you know, there is sickness going around, but there's always different sicknesses going around, and everybody you know is not going to die. And so we kind of asked him first what he had heard, because we didn't want to get him information that would overwhelm him. And then we answered his questions, and we kind of gave him, you know, age-appropriate, gentle facts about, you know, this is what's going on, this is where it started, this is what's happening, and here's what you can do, which, you know, at 7 years old, the big things he can do are, please don't touch your face all the time, please wash your hands really well, and please, you know, wash your hands long enough. And I think it was really, really reassuring for him.
What do we know about the virus itself?
We know more and more as time goes on. We know that this is a coronavirus, and we know that coronaviruses aren't really new. Coronaviruses go around, you know, pretty consistently. A lot of them actually are responsible for the common cold. That does not mean that this current one is just a common cold, but it does mean that this is kind of a familiar illness type. We also know that different coronaviruses have caused more serious illnesses, like SARS that we heard about in the past, the MERS, the Middle Eastern Respiratory Syndrome. So there's kind of a huge range and what they can cause, something that we see as very mild or something that we see as very serious. And so right now, I think public health is really sitting there and intensely studying how this is going to play out in America. Is this going to be something on the much more severe end, or is this going to be something much more on the mild end for us?
How is biomedical research responding?
First, I think it is absolutely fantastic that God has blessed us with so many people that go into biomedical research, right? We have people who are just so smart and willing to go into this field to really serve other people with that intelligence. And they are working really hard on developing kind of two ways of going about helping their neighbor in this. The first is developing treatments to help people who are already sick, to help them get better, because we know that some people who get sick, the numbers right now we have are kind of 80% of people who get sick, it's very mild, which means 20% of people who get sick, it can be a lot more serious. And so they're developing some antivirals, kind of similar to, you know, Tamiflu when you get the flu. Everybody's kind of heard about that at this point, right? They're trying to find ones that are much more targeted that will help people who get this recover faster. And then they are also working on isolating a vaccine that will help people not get sick at all with this.
What precautions should families take in the case of both the flu and the coronavirus?
I'm glad you said both flu and coronavirus, because it's really, really important for all of us to remember that flu is still circulating so widely across America. And if you get sick right now, a lot of people are actually getting sick with flu. And so we need to take really, really careful precautions to make sure that we don't get flu right now. We don't need our hospitals to be overwhelmed with people with flu. And so there are some really common sense, easy things we can all do, things that we should probably be doing all the time, like washing our hands really well. They say that you should be washing your hands for at least 20 seconds, which doesn't sound very long, but when you actually count it out, feels a little bit longer than it is. And it's interesting, there are a bunch of different guides on like different songs and things you can sing that are 20 seconds long. And two of the things that work really well for us specifically as Lutherans are the Lord's Prayer. That's about 20 seconds long, so you could add a lot more prayer into your life, or the doxology. And that's the one that I am using with my children, just because getting them to sing is a little bit easier. So I would encourage us as Lutherans, every time you sit there, to wash your hands, and wash your hands a lot. Think about maybe just praying the Lord's Prayer when you're washing your hands, or sing the doxology. The other thing you can do is stop buying up all of the medical things you don't need. We need our medical people to actually be able to access those to keep people who are sick and treat them. You see, people are overbuying masks that they don't need. Public health has said, please, if you are healthy, don't buy masks. It's actually making you more likely to get sick, because if you're buying a mask and it's not properly fitting you, people actually touch their face more adjusting the fit of the masks, which it hadn't occurred to me until I heard that. But now that I have heard that, it makes total sense. Something doesn't fit on your face, right? You touch it all the time to adjust it. And then those germs are right on your face. The next thing you can do is just have a couple supplies on hand, not like the crazy toilet paper hoarding people are doing. Please don't do that. Let other people have toilet paper, but have some food on hand, have some extra medicine on hand, have just soup supplies, things like that.
So why is staying at home when sick kind of always important?
This is such a hard thing to actually tell families to do, but it's so important, right? When you look at, I mean, we have four children, so this year has been really good. We've barely been sick at all, but we've had years, especially in the past when my children were toddlers, where it seemed like someone always had some sort of weird child illness. And it is hard to tell people, you know, your child is sick, please stay home. But it's because something that might be a very mild illness for you can be a very, very serious illness for someone else. And I think it's really important, out of love and concern for your neighbor, to just stay home. And please don't spread those germs. Please think about that sweet older couple that you love so much at church, or, you know, your neighbors next door, or your grandma and grandpa, all of these people in your lives who you love, the people who have a child undergoing treatment for cancer, where they have a compromised immune system, where a cold or strep throat or influenza or now coronavirus, it may not affect you or your children very severely, but it could be absolutely devastating for another family. And so staying home, treating this illness at home if possible, it slows down the spread of things. If you have a fever, please don't go out. If you have a child who has a fever, please don't take them on a play date. Giving them Tylenol so it reduces the fever, it doesn't make them not sick, right? They're still sick. They can still spread this. And it's kind of expanding just that general care and love for the people around you. And I think if anything positive comes from all of the conversations around this. It is an increased focus on just basic hygiene and the basic love for the people around you and how these simple actions can really help all of those people in our daily lives.
You also talk about the importance of, in terms of precaution and preparation, childcare plans. What do you mean by that?
I haven't seen a ton of things online about this, and I have been looking. You know, there's all of these things kind of really rising, you know, a sense of panic in us about things shutting down and all of these closures, but it doesn't really address what are families actually going to do if schools close? What are we going to do if childcare centers close? A lot of families in America, both parents work, and so your children, they have to go somewhere during the day, right? You can't leave a toddler home alone. You shouldn't leave an early elementary age child home alone. It's not something that can happen. But the concern is that because children appear to not be getting as sick from this as adults, children can have this illness and they might not be symptomatic at all, but they can still spread it to other people like those grandparents we were just talking about. And so if daycares, if schools close because we're trying to stop the spread of this disease, we could be putting those grandparents and older members of our community at risk by asking them to watch children. And so I think we all need to maybe slow down and have some real conversations about if in order to stop the spread of the disease, we're talking about closing schools, closing child cares, what does that actually mean for parents who still have to go to work because they work at a hospital, because they're doctors, because they're pharmacists, because they're professionals that are actually needing to go into work to care for other people? What do we do to help them with their children so we don't actually put our older, more vulnerable members of the community at risk? And I haven't really seen good conversations about this, and I think it's really something that needs to have some frank discussion.
What should we tell our children about coronavirus?
I think the first thing we should tell them is, please don't panic. Please don't be scared. You know, that God is still protecting us in this, just like he's protected us in everything else. God is the one who is in control of everything that happens in the world. I think we should remind them that mom and dad love them, God loves them, that things can sound really scary, and maybe their friends aren't the best source of information, that we don't know exactly what's going to happen, but we do know that our families are staying together, that all of us are handling this together. I would look at the World Health Organization has put out some really kid-friendly posters, and it goes over very basic things about like what sickness is, how kids can prevent it. Again, just simple hand washing. And some of it depends on the age of your children. If you have teenagers, and again, we have some older kids, I think you're going to have to address this a little bit differently because they've probably heard more complicated things about this. And the biggest thing, I think, with older children who've heard maybe more troubling or complicated things is asking them what they know, asking them what they've heard, asking them what they're worried about, and then helping them get maybe a little bit more balanced and calm information about this so they are prepared for what's happening but not panicking.
Holly Shear is a Lutheran pastor's wife and mother of four children in Cheyenne, Wyoming. She's author of a recent column for The Federalist titled, What Families Can Do to Protect Themselves Against Flu and Coronavirus. You can read it at issuesetc.org. Click Talk on Demand Archives. Holly, thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Mark Hemingway is with us to talk about the 2020 presidential race, especially after a pretty staggering loss that Bernie Sanders suffered last night in the round of primaries. We'll see what he thinks about the path forward to a nomination next.
This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we will wrap up our study of John with Jesus Restores Peter and Peter Asks About John's Future. Then on to Hebrews, in these days he's spoken by a son, Jesus and the angels, and how to guard against drifting away. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand at thewordendures.org and on the Lutheran Public Radio app.
Concordia University Chicago is committed to keeping college affordable for all, and especially for LCMS Lutherans. We have scholarships available specifically for students who are LCMS members. This is Dr. Russell Dawn, president of Concordia Chicago, asking you to encourage your student to check out Concordia Chicago at cuchicago.edu. And if you are interested in supporting these scholarships, please find us online at foundation@cuchicago.edu.
Looking for a foreign language program that will revolutionize your students' vocabulary knowledge and their understanding of grammar? How about a program that teaches critical thinking skills, too? Look no further than Memoria Press's Latin curriculum. Students of all ages can use these Latin study programs. Give your students the gift of Latin today. To order, visit memoriapress.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR20. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people, by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.